News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 18th of September, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to bring you news, views, and stuff you can use. We're going to be talking about Apple stuff. It's the death of Macworld and the future of Apple. We're going to talk about powering your MP3 player, not just for hours, but for days. There's a new type of game controller from Nintendo. And later on in the show, we're going to have a couple of discussions we'd love to have you join in on by phone.
But first, I got to wish my wife a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to your wife?
Yep.
She's 28 now? 26?
26.
26. I'm sorry. Lori, I'm really sorry. I apologize profusely for that. Your birthday's tomorrow?
No,
your birthday's tomorrow.
My birthday's tomorrow. And I figured it out. I'm going to be 29 in hex.
And I'm still the old fart.
Yeah, you are.
I'm still the oldest one in the group.
You are. And the theory is you'll continue to... What do you mean you're still the oldest? You're good. The theory is you would... Unless there's a massive warping of space-time, you will continue to be the oldest one
well,
in the group.
Well, I keep hoping
as we
I
move
can reverse
along.
It. Yeah. Reverse it. Go back. Start going backwards.
Depends on where we live on the acceleration curve.
Stop.
Where does he come up with these?
I'm sure he pulls them out of his ear. We're gonna get to the phones in just a minute. Our numbers, of course, 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code. 800-295-1180 if you're outside the 585 area code. That's a Choice One toll-free line. And, of course, star 1180 for Verizon Wireless customers. But before we do any of that, there's an interesting thing in the news this week, citing a shortage in the United States of math and science teacher. IBM has pledged financial support for employees who want to leave the company and pursue teaching careers. They said this on Friday. They'd reimburse participants in their new transition to teaching program for up to $15,000 for tuition and stipends. Participants will also be able to remain at IBM while they conduct their coursework and their training. A lot of their employees have math and science backgrounds. They've made it clear that when they leave IBM, they're not ready to stop contributing to things going on in the universe. And transferring those skills to the classroom is a natural because a lot of them are doing it, you know, part-time now already. So IBM is actually going to help them to do that. And I think that's just a phenomenal thing.
Giving back.
Giving back to the community. That's what it's all about.
And that's a rough job.
Teaching?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Nowadays... I mean, I hear what goes on, you know, at schools and just with my grandchildren and that. I mean, I used to fear that if I got in trouble at school, to come home and tell my parents.
Because they'd hit, I got hit by the nun today. Oh, they'll hit you again. They don't even want to know why. They don't want to know why. Just immediately hit you again.
What'd you do wrong?
Right. Oh, see, my parents never even asked. If I came home and said I was hit by a nun, they would just hit me again. It didn't matter what the reason was.
Obviously, you did something wrong.
Obviously, you did something wrong, and then they would ask. And then I'd get hit again because now they were mad.
I only got hit once in school, and that was with a ruler, and her name was Mrs. Eberwein.
Think about how unheard of it is these days to be hit by a teacher.
You can't do it.
You can't even look at a student.
You can't even tap
way.
You know, touch a student on the shoulder. Good job. Pat him on the back.
Sexual harassment, everything like that. But yet, nuns could beat the ever-loving life out of you back in the, you know, with rulers.
That was, in fact, part of their job.
Yeah.
My teachers threw erasers.
At you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were lucky, they would clap them off first so you didn't get all chalky.
Right, and God forbid you come home with chalk dust on your clothes because your mother knew immediately that you had an eraser thrown at you by the nun, and then she hit you again.
Yeah.
Then she'd ask. Yeah. Then she'd hit you again. And then your father'd get you when he got home.
I think about the worst thing in school that we were made to do if we were bad was, in elementary, you had to go beat the erasers outside or something like that.
Yeah, right.
You know, never hitting or rulers or anything like that.
Oh, in eighth grade, you know those oak pointers?
Yeah.
That the nuns have? She broke one over a student's head.
Over a head?
Over his head. He was screwing around. She got really mad. He was sitting right in the front row. She turned around, wham, broke it right over his head. He slid slowly out of his seat onto the floor. Not one person ever even spoke up in her class for the entire rest of the year.
My mother broke a lot of yardsticks over me and then went to ping pong paddles.
Yeah, yeah.
That lasted a while, but then once she broke the ping pong paddle.
Yeah, yeah. You know those little boppy things where it's a ball on a string and the paddle? My mother used to buy those and rip the string off and just use the paddle.
Well, no, she can get you with a ball. That way she doesn't have to get too close.
She's at the kitchen counter and he's over at the table. She can just go, bam.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I was busy.
All right, listen, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the hacker who stole info from Paris Hilton. He gets his sort of, and we've got Steve from Henrietta on the line, and we're gonna talk to all of you with Nick, Dave, Steve, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We have Steve from Henrietta on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yeah, thank you very much. This is a question for Steve.
Yeah.
My wife just got a brand new laptop, mm-hmm. G4. It's a white one. And we hooked it onto Roadrunner here at the house.
Right.
And it said that Safari cannot open the page because the server stopped responding. I wonder what the problem was. It's a brand new machine.
Do other browsers work?
No.
Pages work?
No.
So it's not Safari. It's your connection to your Roadrunner. Do you have more than one computer on your Roadrunner connection?
Yes, and I have an older one, a 9, and that works.
What kind of router do you have?
A Lexus Wire.
Linksys,
I'm sorry.
What you need to make sure is that your second computer is configured properly to see the Linksys router, because normally only one computer can use Roadrunner. So you want to go into your network system preference and make sure that's set for what's called DHCP. And that means that the computer gets its address from Roadrunner whenever it needs to.
Oh, okay. So I go into the new computer, go into network?
Right, the network system preference. And on your Ethernet port, because you can set different settings for your Ethernet or your modem.
Okay.
Modem if you're using dial-up, Ethernet if you're using the broadband.
Right, and that's what I'm using.
And make sure you're set to use Ethernet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll use, the Mac will find whatever connection it can, and it sounds like in his case it can't find the connection because it's probably set to something other than DHCP.
Right. All right, thanks, Steve. The hacker who broke into Paris Hilton's T-Mobile cell phone just got sentenced.
What did he get?
He got 11 months. I don't do Paris Hilton stories, okay? This is not about Paris Hilton. This is about a guy breaking into somebody's computer, whether it's some bubble-headed bimbo or a real human being.
He got off cheap.
Right. He broke into her machine. Talk about identity theft. Broke into her machine, stole all her stuff, and he only gets 11 months.
Well, the rest of it, while he's on probation, what is it, for 10 years he can't use a computer?
Yeah.
Which means you basically can't live. There are computers in everything. So that's almost the worst aspect.
No,
of it.
I believe he's only prohibited from using computers during the 11 months detention. 2 years of supervised service. Oh, 2 years of supervised release. He can't use it for 2 years, not 10. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I think you should be charged. I don't know. It's just, call us in. Tell us what you think of that. I just don't get it. I don't think it's, enough. I think if a guy's going to steal your identity, he deserves a... You know, it breaks into your system and steals private data. I think he deserves a lot more than that. I mean,
it was probably his first intent. He didn't have a malicious intent, and
I'm sorry, what, did he break in accidentally?
Hello.
Oops,
yeah,
I just found myself in her
seat. Yeah, you just don't trip in there.
He was dialing other celebrity friends that she had in her phone, so it was all a big joke, is probably how his lawyer worded it.
You believe that? I get some swamp thing for you.
I don't know. It just doesn't, I don't mean to be harsh, but...
The bigger problem is that the judges don't know anything about technology either.
Yeah.
Oh, you broke into somebody's house? So, okay, that's 2 years.
And in fact, he actually didn't really break into the phone. He used social engineering to trick T-Mobile employees into giving him the sensitive information.
Hi, I'm Paris Hilton. I forgot my password.
Yeah, hi, I'm Paris Hilton. I forgot my password.
Okay, Ms. Hilton.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Uh-uh.
And then he used a flaw in their website that they fixed. But it's really T-Mobile that's at fault here. Yeah, the kid called up and said, hi, I'm Paris Hilton's secretary, and... she's forgotten her password. Could you give it to
me? Which they probably believed. And it may happen every week.
It may happen every week. That's very true. It's very true.
Oh, she forgot her password again. Okay.
Yeah, right. But the kid was actually, I mean, I don't know how, innocent it was, because he's part of a group of about 8 to 12 hackers called the Defonic Team Screen Name Club. Apparently all the good names were taken.
Yeah, evidently.
What do we want to call ourselves? How about Death on the March? No, somebody's got that. How about Apocalypse Now? No, somebody's got that.
Yeah.
How about Defonic Team Screen Name Club?
Really original. Okay.
What's
but
the
they've
acronym?
Already hacked into DTSNC. It's not. It's nothing. They've hacked into a number of computer networks, and so this is not really innocent. He knew what he was doing, and he did it on purpose.
Yeah, there was intent there.
Well, there may not have been a malicious intent, and that because I watch too many cop shows.
That. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'm glad you finally admitted it. There is help available. But first step is admitting. Yes, I agree that it requires malicious intent. And I'm an old hippie. I'm a bleeding heart liberal. I get all that. But I think this guy needs to be. I am. I don't think of myself as that old. But, the hippie days were back in the 60s.
If you can remember them, you weren't
sitting around the corner of Love and Ashbury. We renamed it from Hate.
There you go.
It's HAIGHT, Hate Ashbury, but we renamed it Love Ashbury. Mm. Okay, that's just farther back than I really needed to go in my life. The kid, I don't know how innocent he was. It just doesn't strike me as an innocent thing, and I think 11 months is just too little.
And that actually brings up the greater issue of bluejacking that's we've talked about before. If you leave if your cell phone has Bluetooth on it, anyone can connect into your cell phone. The intent is that your cell phone can talk to your laptop and get to the internet. Well, if your cell phone can talk to your laptop, it can talk to anybody's laptop.
Yes.
Or anyone else's cell phone. So you can walk around a crowded bus terminal or airport terminal or coffee shop even and pair up and say, hi, here's a cell phone. Do you want to talk to me? And you can say, okay.
Right. And you can suck all the data off it. It's real easy to do. There are programs you can download all over the internet that'll let you do that. Yep. It's incredibly simple.
Yeah. So turn off your Bluetooth unless you know you want to be using it now.
And more importantly, if you turn your Bluetooth off, your battery lasts longer. Hello? It's not running a radio transmitter anymore. Only turn Bluetooth on when you want to use it, like if you've got a Bluetooth earphone.
Yeah.
When you're talking on the phone, when you're making that cell phone call in the car, which you really shouldn't be doing either. But if you leave Bluetooth on, Bluetooth is what they call promiscuous. Yes, that's the term they use. And when they have a you're very brave when there's no camera on.
Damn right,
yes,
I am.
Yes, you are. When the Bluetooth is promiscuous, it will talk to anybody about anything. So I have a program, and I've used it in my class to demonstrate this. I turn it on, and I grab all the data off the kids' Bluetooth cell phones, and then during the break, I delete out all the private information.
Yeah.
But I show in your address book, in your phone book, you've got Fred and Nancy and Mary and Tom and
it's
Jim
like,
and
how'd
Annie.
How'd you do that?
Yep.
Exactly. They're
so it's that old catch-22. You want to make it really easy for novices to use it, which also makes it really easy for the less than novice
yeah, right.
to break into it.
Right. And you know, you think to yourself, well, Bluetooth only has a range. And they have clubs where you can go and meet somebody. You can download a little application to your phone that you put in all your, you know, I'm looking for female 25 to 30, likes a long walk on the beach. You go into the bar, and if there's somebody with compatible stuff, your phone rings, and you can talk to each other. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, you think all memory is created equal? Boy, have we got news for you. Back in just a...
That's nice. He's taking it back.
Oh, that's nice. Find me a couple of pillows and let me just mellow out. I'll sit on the floor in lotus position. I haven't made lotus position in a good 20 years. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick. And I'm not going to tell you my nickname, Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. I got you, babe. They
say the way... Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
What? Were you even on?
What do you mean, what? Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, I'm there.
Is my mic? Hello? Hello?
Hey, there you are. Now you're there. And this is Soundbites. We didn't want you to lose out. We wanted you to be there.
I'm going to make a suggestion.
Uh-oh.
All right, here's
on the air?
I think we should explain to people how we've changed things around a little bit with the calls we're taking for the air. Should we explain that a little bit? Because a lot of people are getting real upset with me real fast when I don't put their phone calls on the air. Should we explain that
yes,
a little bit?
You know
what I mean?
Yes.
Screening.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that we're trying to do for over the years, and this has been very true for quite a number of years, we take a lot of very technical calls. And we love to help people with their technical problems, but there are a couple of things about that. Technical calls generally require a lot of additional explanation.
TMI.
And well, it's a lot of information, and it's a lot of stuff for a radio show. What we're finding is that a lot of the newer users or the less technically inclined users are getting completely lost. So what we're hoping for a little while at least is to take less technical calls and get those people up to speed. One of the things that we've always prided ourselves on is the spectrum of people that we talk to. So when we get a really high-end call that's going to require lots of additional information and may take a long while, and we will be asking you to do a few things, try them on your machine, get back to us and let us know how that happened, that sort of fare, what we're asking is that you put those in the forums at soundbites.org. That way the folks who have slightly less technical questions, beginner type questions, can also get through, because we really, in an attempt to serve everybody, we've been taking a lot of the high-end calls and very few of the beginner calls. So we're clearing the phones nowadays in hopes that we'll be able to get some of the newer folks, people with new machines, people with simple questions. All day long, I answer people's questions, and I say to them, how come you didn't call into the show with that? And they say, oh, I'm so embarrassed. It's such a stupid question. Questions are not stupid. Not asking questions. That's stupid. So give us a call with simple questions. We'll be happy to answer them. You're completely anonymous on the phone. If you don't even want to give your name and where you're from, you don't have to.
Give a fake name and
where you're not from. We'll take that,
we
too.
Don't care.
You know, we've got...
We don't hunt them down.
George from Washington, D.C.
I think it's really important that we, you know, people, like we talked about before, is that people are scared to call and they're like, nobody cares about my question. When in fact, chances are... somebody's got the same identical question.
And
that
sitting
you
there
have.
And they're afraid to call.
Exactly. Particularly if it sounds like to you like a simple question with a real easy answer.
Exactly.
There are 100 people who have that question. Remember, there are no more manuals. Nobody puts manuals in with their stuff anymore. So where are you going to get this information? You got to come to people like us.
And we can point you in it. Most of the computer companies have created publishing companies so they can sell you a book.
David Pogue has made a whole business out of the Missing Manual series.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And for those more detailed or technical questions, there's always the Soundbites forums.
Well, that's what Rob is suggesting that people do, is if a question is more technical, where, for example, somebody might say, can you send us the initialization file, or can you send us a log, or, you know, put that online? We can't obviously do that in the air, so we need you to be in the...
And just like, you know, if folks... you know, if they don't want to go in the forums, they feel fun, they can email us. I won't guarantee that I'll answer every one of them, but I do a pretty good job of trying to keep up with a lot of them. If it is too technical and Rob tells you, you know, well, go to the website. Email the question from there, and I'll try to answer it from there because then I can take the time to find out a little more information. Because we, let's face it, we spend a lot of time when we're trying to do these technical questions. We got to do a lot of research, know what their memory is, what machine they're running. Yeah, and it goes on and on, and it's boring radio.
We want questions about email. We want questions about how to do simple things, I think, right?
That's what we
need.
You
know what I mean? I mean, you know.
We want to not alienate the people who are new to their machines.
We want
to
know people.
We used to have a thing on the Soundbite's front page. What's the big red button on the side for?
Right.
Because
well, there is no more big red button.
PC, the original IBM PC had this huge red button on the side.
Right. And that was the on-off switch, but people didn't know. I mean, you know, we hear the jokes about... I don't know. I have a foot pedal and,
I got one for you.
But wait a minute. But the point is, those are legitimate questions. If you don't know, how are you going to know? So that's what we're here for. Go ahead.
Right up there with real good questions. All right. Thursday, we had a horrific thunderstorm, correct?
Yes, we did.
All right. Repaired this one client's machine. And this, we got a couple other calls after that. They call and said, oh, the machine's not working now. Well, was it working fine yesterday? Yeah. Well, what happens? Well, when I try to go to the web, there's nothing. It says I can't connect. Well, we're having to check out a couple things. And he says, oh, and by the way, cable's out.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the cable's out. Yes. That's a classic story. You know, is the computer turned on? I don't know. I can't see. Was the monitor turned on? I don't know. I can't. Why can't you see? Because the power's off.
Right.
Which on a laptop that may not matter.
But I had literally three folks calling complaining. So Samantha was sitting there saying, "Is your cable out also?" Yeah. Well, that's why you can't get
on. I put my cable router. Actually, we have a nice new Frontier DSL router at our new building. I put the DSL router and the LAN router on the UPS.
Yeah,
so my laptop with its battery will still get to the internet when the building power goes.
As long as you can get online, you don't really care.
Well, the boss has a laptop too, so that's good.
Oh, there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about a new technology that will let you power your MP3 player for days. Power your MP3 player for days. That's right, days. When we come back with Dave and Steve and Rob and me, Nick, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest running computer show.
Let's see, 2.40 gigahertz, 128 KB, 400 megahertz.
Not enough memory.
512 RAM minimum.
512.
Yeah, you're getting 128 meg of RAM. No,
yeah.
128K is on the video card. Keep going.
Okay.
Card still should be meg.
Okay.
Yeah. Video card should still
She said 128K, right?
Cash, internal cash, probably.
Yeah, 128 KB L2 cash.
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
Okay, and then it has 256 MB shared DDR SD RAM.
That is not enough because what that shared is going to be means that 256, part of it's going to go towards your video memory because it's probably onboard video.
Which makes everything run slower.
Okay, so would 512 be?
512.
512 is okay?
Yeah, that would be much better.
Okay, 80 gig hard drive.
Fine.
Good.
48X CD burner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. That machine is going to do everything you've asked it to do so far. It'll do IM. It'll do email. You can run word processing. You can go on the web. You can do all that stuff. What it's going to be really bad at is games, and that's what you want.
Well, that's what the kids are going to want.
Right. The kids are going to want games. You're going to want it to be really bad at games. So in terms of that, it's an excellent machine to purchase for this particular use. Now, the one thing you're going to have to be aware of is if they're going to be downloading music and all that other stuff. But that's, a separate topic for a separate time. In terms of what you're purchasing, this is fine as long as you go up to 512 meg of RAM. The rest of it will be fine.
And if you're looking, I'll put my plug in. If you're looking for new machines for kids, the new Mac Mini is a great entry-level machine with all the power and horsepower and does all the same things, internet and mail and surfing and IM. And you don't have to worry as much about the viruses and spyware and Trojans that plague Windows so bad.
It's true. Our next caller, Jim from Irondequoit. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Yes, I was wondering what the cause of my wife was on the internet playing some Yahoo games, and on two separate occasions, it just booted her right off the internet back to the desktop and left two notepad icons, which with some error message, and it said it was an unexpected error has been detected by Hotspot Virtual Machine. We rebooted, and it hasn't happened since. So, and the machine is running fine. Was just wondering if why that would have happened.
In general, because there's 100,000 other people playing Yahoo games, and that it overwhelms their servers, and people get kicked off every now and then. But Hotspot Virtual Server doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, that almost sounds like spyware.
No, that's Java.
Is it Java?
That's a Java thing. The Hotspot Virtual Machine is actually the Java is a programming language.
Which you gotta have.
That runs in the background, and all of Yahoo games are written in Java. So you are running a Hotspot Virtual Machine on your computer in order to run those Java games. What's happened is either the game was written badly, or there's a memory problem in your machine, which probably would have reared its ugly head in some other way, or it just happened to be a bad chunk of data that came down to you. Are you on broadband or are you on dial-up?
Broadband.
Okay. Then
how much memory in your computer?
Right, and how much memory in your machine?
I think it's 512.
Yeah, so that's likely just a glitch on the net. These things are happening more and more often as the net gets glutted with spam and with pictures and with music. So I wouldn't really worry about it. It's if it never happens except on Yahoo, and it only happens rarely on Yahoo, it's just a matter of getting a bad bit of data.
Yeah, at this second, there's 112,000 people on Yahoo trying to play a game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about Macworld Boston. It's the end of an era. More when we come back on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benray.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Yes, there's a new technology out. Toshiba has created a fuel cell. Plug it into your MP3 player, and you can play it for 2.5 days without recharging it. Now, there's a problem with it. It's only in the labs right now because there isn't a way to recharge it yet. It actually uses methanol inside the fuel cell, and they haven't figured out how to recharge them yet. Fuel cells usually use alcohol or hydrogen. But this one uses methanol in a highly concentrated form. It produces electricity using a little chemical reaction. And they've actually got it out. One is formatted for flash-based digital music players like the iPod Shuffler, the iPod Nano, although it's a little big for the Nano. And the other is for digital music players with hard disk drives like the iPod Photo or Toshiba's own Gigabeat player. The 100 milliwatt version is about the size of a pack of gum and can power a flash-based player for about 35 hours on a single charge. And the bigger one, the 300 milliwatt version, is about the size of a pack of playing cards and has enough juice to power a hard disk drive-based player for about 60 hours. They didn't say if the fuel cells would ultimately be designed to allow consumers to refill them or if the cells will be sold as a disposable product. That probably will depend.
Do like a recycling type of thing.
Like
your car battery. You trade your battery in, you get a new battery.
Right. They're really looking at the safety standard. There's the safety standards and the international standards, international standardization specifications for microfuel cells are really in draft form right now, so it's hard to know. The two types of MP3 player and the cartridges are expected to go on display at the Japanese trade show in October. And should be available shortly thereafter. IBM and Sanyo have developed a methane-based fuel cell for ThinkPad notebooks, and that can be recharged. So it's a pretty cool technology, and we'll see where that takes us in the future. We'll be keeping you up to date on that. In the meantime,
I'll say there's something similar that I don't remember if we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, that Samsung is talking about a new type of flash memory that they're working on with capacities up to 32 gigabytes.
Right.
Which is about the size of a laptop hard drive.
Yeah. Right.
The two biggest power draws in your laptop are the hard drive spinning and the screen backlight. So they're talking about putting one or two of these in a laptop, cutting down on the power usage of that hard drive, and then you double your laptop's battery life.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've increased every capability in computing except for the battery. And hopefully that'll be the next place we go. Now we're going to go to Debbie in Fairport, New York. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Good morning. I'm calling because I've got a teenager who wants to be downloading music.
No.
He's been playing with Aries Gold, and says he's got a trial membership, free trial right now. However, we had problems in the past with Kazaa and the viruses and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind paying for him to download some songs. I just don't know, out of the zillions of things that I see on the internet, which ones are legit and,
well, here's the
you know,
deal.
What I should be doing.
Yeah, here's the deal. Most of the downloading, free downloading things like Kazaa and BearShare and LimeWire,
including Aries Gold,
are two things. One, most of the music you download from them is copyrighted, and therefore it's illegal for you to have it without paying for it. And second is most of them are spyware themselves.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So not
that's,
only
that's
do you
what
need,
I kept saying.
Yeah, yeah. Not only do you need to take that program off the machine, you now need to dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
Okay. Yep.
Which will help clean it off. If your son?
Yep.
Yeah. If your son wants music cheap, iTunes is the best place to get it. 99 cents a cut, and it's all legitimate and legal and known clean.
Yep.
The other place is a place called Magnatune.
Okay.
Magnatune, and that's on our...
I'm just going through our link list. Magnatune is one. Net Music is another one. There are several legal sources for downloading music.
Right.
And a lot of times, don't forget a band's own website. If you go to the website of your favorite band,
okay. They
often have free downloads for that band, new releases available.
Right.
In fact, I just heard this afternoon that Wham has got a free music streaming for... somebody's new album, I forget.
The other thing you need to be worried about is that often the stuff your son will be downloading through BearShare and things like that is in fact a virus itself. You download what purports to be a very popular song, you double click on it and nothing happens, and you think, okay, it was a bad download, and you delete it. But it really was a virus, and it ran itself in the background and did its job, and you're caught.
Okay, not though on the ones that you've paid for.
Correct.
Not the ones you paid for, and not at Magnatune.
Magnatune. Okay, we'll try
Tune,
that one.
T-U-N-E, Magnatune.
Magnatune.
Right.
With an S or no?
No S.
Right. Okay.
And nettunes.com and itunes.com also are completely free of viruses and spyware.
Right.
Legitimate licensed music.
All right. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. That's something that our folks really need to be aware of and really need to be wary of. If you've got kids and they're downloading music, not only is it illegal and you will go to jail because the Recording Industry Association of America is incredibly aggressive about suing, and they win all the time.
I love it, though, because, I mean, it messes up their machine so bad.
Well, that's the other part of the problem. Not only are you downloading music illegally, but you're also downloading massive numbers of viruses and spyware.
Which equates to a big repair bill, because it usually takes us, a couple hours to get it all cleaned out and get it out and get back up. In fact, I had one parent that cleaned it off once, took the bill home, and told the kids, you see this? If you do it again, you're paying. The kids now have gone to ask the mother to sign them up for the iPod tunes, and now they're paying for them legitimately and no problem.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Actually, it's time for the news. Megan Mattis is in. She's going to read the news for us. And when we come back, it's the end of Macworld Boston and the end of an era. More when we come back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Franchitti. What? You don't like it when I say it that way? I love it when I say it that way. And people like it. They all know you now as Rob Linton. It's not just Rob anymore. And I'm Nick Francesco, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Macworld, and we're going to take more of your calls, and we've got a couple of things we'd like to discuss with you, so be prepared to call in, and we'll do all of that when we come back to the longest-running and, indeed, greatest computer show in the known universe, and that would be Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is what did you forget? This is Soundbites.
I've been up since 5:30 this morning.
Oh,
and here,
wham.
Excuse me, here since 5:30 this morning. I'm a little sleepy.
Wham. We were talking about this earlier. You're young. You're a puppy. You should be able to stay up for days on end without sleeping. Yeah. Macworld, Boston is no more. They used to be in New York City. They had tens of thousands of attendees. They moved to Boston. They only had about 8,000, and now they're gone. IDG has closed them down.
It actually goes back further than that. Macworld's been going on for about 20 years, almost since the introduction of the Mac itself, and it was in Boston to begin with. And the problem was it grew so big. The problem is my mic won't stay up. Macworld grew so big that they'd have 50 or 60,000 people showing up in Boston in August, which was on the waterfront. So you stayed in the building.
Yeah, right.
But it grew so big they had to split it into two separate locations.
Because there was no convention center big enough for all of it.
Right. And then, so it wasn't too bad. It was a 20-minute bus ride from one center to the other center.
Yeah.
But then the big dig started. $15 billion boondoggle in Boston, and the tunnel leaks already. And so then it turned that 15-minute bus ride into a 2.5-hour bus ride and really messed up the convention itself because you couldn't get from one facility to the other very easily.
And, of course, when IDG moved Macworld back to Boston, Apple didn't go with them.
Right.
So Macworld without Apple was kind of a
what's the point
sort of thing.
The last 2 years they've held Macworld in Boston were mostly smaller companies showing off their newer stuff. But it isn't just Macworld. And one of the things that we've been noticing as a trend over the years is that all the computer shows are down.
COMDEX
is all but gone. In fact, Macworld was the largest computer show outside of COMDEX. You know, COMDEX used to draw 500,000 people to Vegas, and now they get, five?
Yeah, PC World used to be in New York City.
Yeah, the PC Expo was big, too. So all the trade shows are down, and most of the shows that had more than one show a year are cutting back to one show a year because it's just so expensive to run a trade show, and the companies that exhibit there don't have that kind of budget anymore. Plus, it was always hard on their production runs. And everyone expected new products at a trade show.
Right.
Well, if your new product isn't ready yet, what do? Show something that isn't ready, sell it before it's ready, or just say, hi, here's the stuff.
Well, that's where the web has done them in.
Right.
Because now, you can do so much research so much faster right there from the comfort of your desk.
Yeah, the internet killed the trade show.
Right. So it's really not just Macworld Boston. It's the industry in general.
So IDG is also saying now they can devote all of their resources to Macworld San Francisco, which happens in January. Much nicer to go to San Francisco in January than Boston in August.
Yes, I agree with that. Well, when Macworld was in New York, it was in summer, right?
Yeah, summer at the Javits Center in New York, and even the New York shows were a lot smaller than the Boston shows had been first, and a lot of people are saying that New York City is a big center for Macintosh use with all the ad agencies and production shops and creative people, but it's I always said it's a lot harder to go to a trade show in your own town.
Right, it is.
You can get off a couple hours at lunch and then try to hope to see everything. But if you have to take a trip to another city, you can get a week off to do a trade show real easy.
Right, it's the truth. And of course, New York City in August is of course when all the garbage men go on strike.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to be there either. I'll tell you that right now.
But that walk, it was interesting when I stayed went to Macworld New York a few times. I stayed at the New Yorker Hotel, one of the oldest hotels in New York, and it's like a 3-block walk. And I forgot how long 3 blocks was in New York City.
That's a long distance.
Me and 10,000 people about would walk down the street into Macworld.
Yes.
So I everyone had their little Macworld tchotchke bag. So I felt completely safe.
Yeah, right.
Safety numbers.
God knows you're never going to get.
get mugged by a geek. That's absolutely true.
Taking everything home on the train was tricky, though.
Well, that's why a lot of these places have done such business that, you know, the bring it to them, they'll pack it.
Yeah,
the
Javits Center has a huge shipping facility in the center, so you just pack all your stuff and ship it home, and it's waiting for you when you get there.
I'll tell you what, though, paper is heavy.
Yeah.
Paper is heavy, and that's another thing that saved me was when you could say to them, "I don't want your paper. Send me the email with the PDFs in it and stuff,
or a disc with it on the disc.
Give me a CD. You'd get a lot of places were giving away CDs back in the day.
That was always the big thing. Who had the best tchotchkes?
Yeah. I got the best tchotchke ever. I got a blimp, a helium battery powered motorized blimp.
Cool.
And I still have it.
Buy those at RC Toys for $300-$400.
Exactly. And I got mine for free. They had it there, and I went there. I was talking to the guy, and I told him about his product and blah, blah, blah. And he remembered me because I had actually helped them solve a problem with the product years ago. And I said, "So what kind of toy are you going to give me?" And he looked around. They didn't have any shirts left. They didn't have any tchotchkes. He said, "Here, give him that thing." They were just packing it back up again. He said, "Give him this?" "Yeah, give it to him. Go ahead, give it." Okay. Welcome with that.
As the show is winding down, it's a great place to get deals, things they don't have to pack up and cart away.
That's right. Anything they don't have to actually pack up and cart away, you used to be able to get away with pretty easily.
I did that one time. I was down in New York, York, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And we're down there, and where Harley normally sets up their convention for the long weekend they have, they were just wrapping up a food expo.
Yeah.
So... what the heck? I was down there with a couple of the guys, and we just walked in like we knew what we were doing.
Sure.
We got more free food.
Oh, food expos are the best.
Because they were wrapping up. Here, you want to take this?
Yeah.
They gave us, fistfuls of Butterfingers and everything else.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
The blimp, the Mach 3 airship blimp is on sale for $77 at rctoys.com.
Wow, nice.
That used to be $300 or $400.
Yeah, no kidding. What's wrong with it? Anyway, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Charles from Irondequoit on the line. Welcome, Charles. What's your question?
My question is, I was trying to do a security tango, and I went in this time to update my spy bot.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to do it for a couple of days, and it come out with the detection rules and immunization base, but it has a big red line through it, and it says bad checksum, and I don't know where to go.
Oh, because you're trying to download the update?
I'm trying to download the update.
All right, here's what you do. Because the site
I haven't had any trouble in the past. This is the first time.
Yeah, no, it's been running into this. And what it is because it's gaining popularity, it's a very busy site. If it fails on one site and you get that thing that says bad checksum and a red check mark,
right.
If you hit the cancel, now back up on the top part of SpyBot, you'll see a place where you can download. And say it says workcenter.net. If you click on that down arrow, you can select one of, it's like seven other websites that you can download it from. Try them. Because depending on how busy each one is, I've been running into this myself because we put SpyBot in everybody's machine and try to get the updates. It takes maybe a couple tries to try a different website and say download from this website.
This is very similar to the problem we had earlier with Steve when we were talking about sometimes you can't open a specific page or rather with Jim, you can't open a specific page, but everything else works fine. Certain sites are just too busy and because they're so busy, you lose your connection and you can't get a download. So that's, I'm sure what's happening here because we've all run into
games. And what SpyBot is doing is, the newer versions of SpyBot will set a random download site. They all used to pick the same university in Germany, then millions of people were taking down that server.
Right, that's fine when you've got, 100 people downloading a product, but when it's 200 or 300 million, then
that's a menu that people don't see when you go into SpyBot and click that search for updates button. There's a search for updates button, and then right next to that, there's the download site it's going to search from.
Yep,
it's a menu. There's a little arrow
They just click the down arrow, and like I say, it opens up, and you can select. I think it's like seven or eight other sites,
including a couple in the U.S.
Yep.
Right,
and you just select one of those, and
that's a common problem, I think, with a lot of software, particularly free software that's written by an individual.
Mm-hmm.
they assume you're going to know. Either because they're geeks and they, you know, they see something, their eye immediately catches that little down arrow and they say, oh, there's more choices here. They expect everybody to get that, but people don't. I, for the longest time, for example, had an interesting problem with my website at AskNick.com.
Ding.
Thank you. I send out question and answers and alerts and emails and things like that. And what I do is I send out, it's the standard thing to get people to join if they're not joining or to be more involved if they're not mm-hmm. involved. I send out the question, and then there's a little either an ad, if somebody's bought an ad, or you know, you should go to the forums and talk about this or whatever. And then there's the answer. And I've had a number of people write to me and say, your service is junk because you send out the questions and you never send out the answers.
Scroll down.
And I think, yeah, you just have to scroll down. But you know what? It's not that obvious.
Yeah.
If you see the question and then you see something that isn't the answer, you think we're done and we didn't get it. So I've realized I now have to add scroll down for answer to the list. And it's not, you know, and I'm not saying that people are not bright or whatever. It's just that it's not what you're used to.
They want quick
it's the old,
and fast.
Yes. It's the old press any key to continue.
Right.
There isn't a key marked any.
Right.
So now all these instructions or manuals are changing it. You know, press spacebar to continue or press return to continue. There is no key marked any.
Right. Press whatever key you like to continue. The problem is there are some keys you can press that won't continue.
Yeah, shift.
Right.
Shift doesn't do it. Oh, I have found, though, shift is good for waking up a sleeping computer.
Yes.
Because it doesn't do anything.
But it
wakes it up.
Keeper.
Right. So if your computer's asleep, you hit return, it wakes up, and then the return gets executed on whatever happened to be left on top of the screen.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I've decided I have to do that. And it's not, and like I said, it's not because, you know, people are not bright. It's just not what they're used to. Every human being, whether you, me, everybody, when we're confronted with something we don't understand, it takes a while to get it. And in these busy times, people don't often have a while.
They want to see the question, the answer, and boom, move on.
This is cool. I was reading on SpyBot's website. They're coming out with a version that will run under Symbian cell phones to protect you from all the spyware you can get now on your cell phone.
Well, and that's an interesting problem, isn't it? As computers become more ubiquitous, as you can get computer stuff on your cell phone, computer stuff on your PDA, computer stuff on your BlackBerry, the possibility exists that you will get viruses and you will have problems on these things, just as you do on your computer.
Yep.
And up until recently, there's been no protection whatsoever. It doesn't matter what you had in terms of protection on your PC. If your phone could get a virus, and then when you connect to the PC, it spreads the virus. So there's been a concerted effort nowadays to move, particularly in two real arenas. Microsoft would like to continue to take over the world, and they would like to get your cell phone and your everything else. So far, at least, really that arena looks like it belongs to Linux.
Yeah.
A lot of cell phones are running Linux. A lot of PDAs are going to be running Linux. We're going to see a lot more of those. Palm is big in the PDA arena, and they want to be big in fact, Palm is moving to Linux in order to help take over that market. So you're going to find in the future that Linux runs on a lot of things, and because it can be so small and so compact and yet continue to be so powerful.
And it doesn't matter to the individual.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to know that.
Right. They won't know what they're getting. They just know they're running something. Listen, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we've talked a lot about radio frequency ID chips, RFID chips, and we'll talk about how the technology is working for us in the aftermath of Katrina. Jesus crackers, who am I, Barbara Bush? Katrina, when we come back after this break on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Happy?
Your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. RFID, RFID, radio frequency ID chips. These are the little tiny, tiny, tiny little chips that they implant, that they stick in. Originally, they were designed for manufacturing. All of your inventory has RFID tags on it, and so you can sweep this reader over them and know exactly what you have in inventory.
Rather
and as
than
it goes out to the truck, you sweep it by and it knows what's there. And
rather than scanning every individual barcode separately.
Right. You don't have to. All you have to do is have this reader near it, and it'll pick it up. Yep. And then as the truck goes out through the gate, it can be scanned right through the truck, and you know what's there. This technology has revolutionized inventory and packages and movement and all the stuff involved in business. And now they're actually using it in the aftermath of Katrina. There's horrendous devastation down there, and they're finding the really sad part is they're finding a lot of dead bodies,
yeah.
And they can't identify them, and there's nowhere to put them, and they don't know what to do with them. So they're actually implanting RFID chips in them, and then they can track where they've put the remains and where they've sent them and what's happened to them, so that as they become identified, as time goes on, you know, somebody says, oh, my relative lived in this house. Oh, we took a body out of that house. Now they know where it is, as opposed to, it's somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially the way the flooding worked. You know, bodies have been floated miles away from where they started.
Right. They're also talking about, of course, now, you know, this has been a big controversy. This is great here. They love it. They think it's great because it's very, very helpful. There are at least 500 unidentified bodies in the state, and this will help them significantly to do that. The controversy, of course, has been over the past couple of years. Advocates of RFID systems say implanting chips into people, living people, will one day help doctors and emergency medical personnel mm-hmm. rapidly access your medical history, because your medical history can be put in that chip and identify who they are.
Could save a life.
Right. Opponents, however, contend that embedding RFID chips into people will erode civil liberties and privacy, and several Christian groups also object, asserting that the chips violate their own beliefs. I'd love to hear from you and find out what you think about this question about RFID chips and implanting them in the human body, and seeing if that is that a good idea, bad idea. Call us 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's the Choice One toll free line 800-295-1180. And of course, if you're a Verizon wireless customer, it's star 1180. But it's an interesting problem. You know, they're talking now about implanting them in pets, which I personally think is a great idea.
Oh, I've got chips in my two dogs. So if they ever get lost, it's registered. They scan them.
One of my dogs has a chip on her shoulder, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about that. Anyways, they scan it, and all the information comes up,
right.
Who to call and everything else, and it's great. And that's what I think would be great. You know, if folks had it, just simple information, like your name, your address, like you say, medical history.
Right.
That if, you know, what happens if you are unable to talk,
right?
You know, and given the circumstances, and they have to know any medical.
But the problem with that, of course, is now they can track wherever you go, whatever you do. They know where you are and what you're doing and who you're with and what you're doing.
It's just like any new technology. It everything is created with the greatest intent, and
there's a dark side to every
form. But I'm not even saying tracking, though. It'd just be able to have it just so it can just scan. You have to have a scanner. Just a simple chip.
I can make a scanner out of a Pringles can and some wire that can pick up an RFID signal a mile and a half away.
But I'm not even saying that advanced. I'm saying just a simple chip.
And I'm telling you that if you plant even a simple chip, I can pick it up from a mile and a half away.
There was a great TV commercial a couple of years ago now, when the technology was first coming out. This shady character in a long trench coat was going through a supermarket and stealing stuff, putting it in his pockets and behind his trench coat.
Right.
And he's always glancing around looking for security. And they always cut to the security guy is looking, you know, kind of bewildered and doesn't really know what's going on.
Right.
The guy walks out of the store, and this little alarm goes off, and he gets really panicked, and the guard hands him his receipt.
Yes.
He walked through the scanner. It scanned everything in his pockets, automatically debited his checking account.
Right.
Yep. Here's your receipt, sir.
Now, that's in the packages, and that's fine. I truly have no problem with that. But implanting it in people, I guess if it's voluntary, that's okay, I guess. If you want it, you can have it.
Well, a lot of people wear medical bracelets now.
Yeah. Right.
With
well, but that's different.
The bracelet can fall off in an accident, and then they don't know you're allergic to penicillin.
Penicillin or
right,
whatever.
Right, right. But it's still different. You can't be tracked.
Yeah.
You know, if I walk into a store, my bracelet doesn't tell people I'm there.
Right.
Well, there's all the chips and money anyway. They know where we are.
Yeah, that's right. Except I keep my money inside a pyramid.
Yeah.
So I'm fine.
That steel wallet makes you look funny. Or lead wallet.
The lead pyramid wallet sticking out of my. Yeah, it looks a little odd, but hey, what the heck? And of course, nobody notices that anyway because they're too busy staring at my tinfoil hat. So really, we're all good with that. That's not a problem. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. RFID bracelets now not embedded in you, but as a bracelet mm-hmm. that you wear are being used in some prisons.
There was also an episode of one of the cop shows I watch too much of, where they're talking about kids going clubbing, and the women are wearing such slinky dresses, and they don't carry purses anymore.
Right.
That they don't have any money or ID with them, so they have a little chip implanted in their shoulder, and so the bouncer scans the chip, and it tells them they're legal and sets up their credit account for buying whatever they want to buy in the club.
Right. Well, and of course, and then there's going to be, you know, the illegal RFID chip so that the 16-year-olds get the 18-year-old chip and they're on their way. In Japan, you can now use your cell phone to buy things. You know, you don't carry a credit card anymore. Your cell phone is your credit card. You swipe it in front of a soda machine and you can get a soda. You swipe it in front of a cash register and you can buy items.
They've run commercials like that here, but it hasn't caught on yet because a lot of people don't want that much tie-in between their devices.
Right. But eventually, you're right. You'll be able to just, you know, point your wrist at the scanner and it'll know who you are and what you're
How many times have you gone to the soda machine and you don't have the right change?
Right. Every time.
All the time, yeah.
every stinking time.
So you pull out your cell phone, type it in, and the machine spits a Coke out.
No, you don't even have to type anything in. It's like the Easy Passes. You just wave your phone at it, and there you are. You're on your way.
This commercial was a couple years old. You had to type in the number.
Oh, see, that's old technology. We don't care about that anymore. Yeah. We're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Thanks so much, Nick.
Sure.
I've been in the process of trying to purchase a computer, and I can't name names because of the conflict of interest.
That would be best.
With Steve and so on and so forth. I'm looking for a 17-inch monitor. That's what I want. To me, that's the way the world's going for a laptop I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I guess my question was, I'm on SSI. I've got multiple medical problems. They're giving me a lot of grief. I've got the money to purchase the machine. Do you feel better off buying a used system through one of these local places that I guess I can't name names of
the best,
places?
The best advice I can give you about any system is the warranty. Check the warranty. Yeah. If they're not willing to give you a decent warranty, then they have no faith in their own system.
Especially on used, though. You're not going to find much of a warranty on anything used.
Factory reconditioned usually has a warranty.
Yes.
The biggest issue I have always found with...
Well, they'll give you 3 days or 10 days or 30 days. Find the longest one can.
On a laptop, it's not going to be much.
Apple does pretty good with their factory reconditioned. You still get a one-year warranty, and you can buy the two-year extension, which is interesting. What I've found the worst thing with used equipment is, why is it used? They returned it for some reason. Is it just because they bought a better computer, or were there problems with it, and that's why they returned it?
Yeah.
Right. So buying used, it's always
I don't mind.
Emptor.
I don't mind buying used because I can fix it.
Right.
Yeah. But
someone out there may not want to buy something and
have it at the shop back every week.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. Our next caller is Maury from Henrietta. Welcome, Maury. What's your question?
Thank you. I run Zone Alarm all along.
Good for
you.
And
I just installed the latest version. And I got a pop-up security alert I've never seen, at least I don't recall ever seeing before. It says that Juno is trying to act as a server.
Yes.
Allow or deny. Mm-hmm. And I've been denying.
That will prevent you from using the Juno service. Part of what Juno mm-hmm. is as an internet service, a very low cost and free in some cases internet service. The other side of getting the service free is that you are required to read the ads, so that Juno will download ads and serve ads back out to the internet to let the service know what ads you've already got, so they can give you more.
So by shutting that down, you shut yourself down.
And also, they look over your where you're going on the internet and start serving you ads about that. So if you go to car sites, Juno will start serving you more ads about cars. If you start going to music
car
sites.
Insurance.
Right. That sort of thing. So Juno will try to do all those things. That's one of the reasons it's free or so cheap, depending on which version you have. is because you're not paying for it in dollars, but you're paying for it in both lack of privacy and in some of the other stuff that you have to.
And eating up your time because you got to sit there and put up with those ads.
That's exactly right.
Although after a while, when I used to use Juno or even the Eudora sponsored version, after a while you learn to ignore the ads, and the companies know that and start making them bigger.
Right, or flashing them or whatever. Yep. That annoys the living heck right out of me. Flashing ads.
Yeah.
Just I actually write those things down. I never buy anything that's flashed at me.
Well,
ever.
Again, you're getting what you pay for,
and you pay for what you get.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah, it's actually true. Juno is a great service in terms of what they give you for, you know, it's free and you get your email and blah, blah, blah. Or you can pay and you can do other things as well. But the reason it's either free or inexpensive is because you pay on the other end. That's true of a lot of things. For example, you mentioned Eudora. I can get Eudora for free. It's an incredible web email program. You can get it for free and you get little ads in the corner, or you can pay and the ads go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then that you get to make your choice there as to how you're going to do that. And Opera does the same thing with their web browser, and there are a bunch of other programs.
Even in the real world, we've mentioned newspapers before.
Sure.
Now, the newspaper costs 50 cents because it's full of advertising. And we've asked, you know, jokingly sometimes people at Gannett, what would the newspaper cost if you didn't take ads? We wouldn't bother making it because we nobody buy it.
Nobody could
buy it because it would be too expensive.
Right. That's exactly right. It's astonishing how much of the world runs on advertising. Well, look at this station. You know, they take ads, and that helps keep them on.
That's what makes the world go around.
Pays for 50,000 watts of clear channel power and everything else.
There was an interesting lawsuit. I haven't heard much about it lately. The television networks were suing companies like TiVo and Replay that allows you to skip commercials when you're watching television.
Right, right.
They're suing them because they are claiming that it is the public's obligation to watch the commercials in order to get free television.
Interesting.
Interesting argument.
Yeah, but you're not getting free television if you're on cable.
Well, it's the over-the-air broadcast.
But
yeah,
still,
so
yes.
That's the kind, and we talk about in England, you have to buy a license to get your television.
Well,
and also,
even when you're watching the basic cable shows, they have ads because it costs a lot more money to put on the show than they're getting from your piece of the pie. So that's why they do that sort of thing. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Ray from Lockport, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Hi. We got a nice new expensive printer. It's
congratulations.
Only a year old, and it's run probably approximately 300 copies all told. Stuff from the internet, stuff from my little business and all that sort of stuff. Now all of a sudden we can't get it to print. It will print, like if you're doing my wife's Avon website, she'll get the download and then she'll go ahead and print her order or whatever she does, I don't know. And it prints the heading and the lines peter out. Well, then we tried to run copies. And it just goes through the motions, and the thing is going earn, as if it's painting the lines, and it isn't doing it.
Is it a inkjet printer?
It's a stylus.
Yes.
Yeah. So the problem is you didn't use it enough.
We didn't use it enough.
Yeah.
What's happened is with inkjet printers, the liquid ink sprays through the print head onto the paper.
Right.
Every now and then that ink will dry and get clogged up, and you need to clean the heads of the printer.
Okay, we run the head cleaning part of it.
But eventually,
pull the cartridge out.
It's one of a couple of things. The cartridge could be empty and need replacing.
Yeah.
But it's more likely that the ink heads are so clogged up from lack of use that the head has been damaged, and you have to replace the printer.
No, those though I think are like the HPs.
Don't they
have the contacts in the back?
No, it's a separate. The Epson and Canon and some of the other
they're
companies.
They're still using the ones.
It's right. The tank, the ink tank is separate. The print head is in the printer.
Yeah.
And when the print head gets clogged up, you have
then
to replace that print head, which costs more than buying a new printer.
And it gets so messy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true.
So it's one of those annoying things. If you use it too much, you wear it out. If you don't use it enough, it clogs up.
I'm so used to the others nowadays that you put the cartridge in, the cartridge
is the head. Yeah, and that's why HP cartridges cost more, because there's more in them.
Right. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray Robelington, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. When we left, I wanted to talk about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about music playing preferences, you know, with the release of the iPod and everything else. Interestingly, most of you, the vast majority, well, the biggest number of you actually just listen to the radio, followed by CD player, then followed by MP3 player, which was kind of interesting. This month, we wanted to talk about something else. There's a new thing going out here. Given the inadequate preparation and planning by various U.S. agencies that was uncovered in the wake of Katrina, questions are now being raised as to whether or not the U.S. is protecting its crucial data networks. There are a lot of people who feel we are woefully underprepared for Katrina and its aftermath at both the state and federal levels. Now people are looking at our data networks and asking if we're better prepared there. Now, that's an interesting problem. And so that's what this week's poll is about. Do you have confidence in America's ability to protect our networks? Of course, the choices are pretty simple, yes and no. So far, the vast majority of you think no. Once you're done, that's at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. When you're done there, please feel free to take a look at the little yellow box underneath. I'm having one of those days. The little yellow box underneath, and you'll see that you can click Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Woody Woodpecker. Sorry. Walter Lance cartoon. And the question here is, how would you protect America's data network? And so far, we've got seven people, some of whom actually read the question, which was kind of nice. When you're done with that, feel free to look around, ask Nick, and see what you like. But then feel free to please come back to soundbites.org and check out what we've got. There's a podcast of past shows. You can get past shows downloaded to your computer. We have the list of sites that we mention weekly on the show. You can, if the show is live, you can actually listen via the web. You can check out the secretly recorded calls. Moody Blues and others have presented some secretly recorded calls. Our people have put out some wonderful movie posters and logos and some pretty interesting things like that. Dave has a new tip every week.
Mm-hmm.
And those are out there. So join us in the polls. So far, 78 of you have voted.
And talk a little bit about the poll topic, too, that the Internet and the data networks themselves were created as to be completely decentralized to survive the impending nuclear attack that we expected to come in the 60s,
right,
through the Cold War, so that if any one city went down, the Internet could route itself around it and not go down itself. So the government labs and research centers that were the only people using the Internet at the time could actually keep running.
Right, and that has to do with them actually dying, but doesn't have to do with them being attacked by terrorists via viruses and things like that. But we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Colleen from Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about a Mac Mini. I recently got one because I want to be more secure surfing the net, and I remember you saying that there's not a lot that you have to do to secure it from viruses and so on, but I also remember you saying something about you need to do something to be a good net citizen, and since I didn't have one at the time, I didn't pay attention to that part. Can you tell me what, if anything, I need to do to be secure using a Mac on the net?
Basically, having the Mac at all gives you pretty good security. There are no viruses yet for OS X. There is no spyware yet for the Macintosh.
The operative word there being yet. You need to be don't get cocky, kid.
Yet. Yeah. But it's also extremely difficult to write those kinds of programs for the Mac, so most people just don't bother because it's so much easier on Windows. What I had mentioned is that some people like to run an antivirus program on their Mac, like Norton Antivirus, that will catch any Windows viruses that people may accidentally send you, so that you don't accidentally send them back to a Windows user yourself.
Right. Let's say somebody sends you a cute picture. Oh, look at this cute picture. But really, underneath the picture is a virus.
On your Mac,
you wouldn't get it.
On your Macintosh, the virus cannot execute, so you wouldn't get infected yourself. But if you then sent that cute picture on to someone else, the virus could infect them.
So if you're running an antivirus program, you'll kill the virus before you send it on to someone else, and that's just simply being a good network citizen.
Okay. And my other question was about Zone Alarm. Do you have to run that?
There's a firewall built into the Macintosh and that you can find in the sharing control panel. But again, it's the sort of thing that people trying to break into computers are all using Windows code to try to break into your computer with. So when it gets to your Mac, nothing can happen anyway. But you can turn on a firewall like Zone Alarm, which is built into the Mac in the sharing system preference.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah, and then of course you can't run Zone Alarm anyway, since Zone Alarm is a PC program.
There are other firewalls similar to Zone Alarm's functionality that warn you about what's coming in and warn you about what's going out. In fact, the latest version of the firewall in macOS 10 finally has a log you can read if you really want to.
Right.
IPFW, it's the Unix firewall.
Right.
That you can read logs and see who's been trying to break into you.
Right. And in terms of Security Tango, it's really designed specifically for PCs, but the principles work for every operating system. Run a firewall, run antivirus, and that sort of stuff.
Don't run LimeWire, Kazaa, stealing music programs. Don't watch what you're clicking on to make sure you're really on a banking website.
Right. When we come back, the problem with Google. When we come back with Dave, Steve, Rob, Nick, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Well, it's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have Pete on a cell phone. Welcome, Pete. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show. Great
Thanks.
Show.
Thank you.
I listen as much as I can.
Thank you.
Okay, I got a question for you. My virus, I had a PC, Windows XP, and my virus catcher came up and it caught something called backdoor.graybird.
Yep.
Ouch.
So it told me, it says I need to, but it quarantined it, so I figured I was okay. And then it said to clean it up, you have to reboot it in safe mode and shut off the restore system file, right? Well, I tried to do that and go back into safe mode, and now it won't let me in. My password's not working, and no matter what I try to get out of safe mode, like changing it to reboot normal and all that stuff, last configuration, nothing works. It just continuously comes up in safe mode. What's going on?
It sounds to me like it's not entirely cleaned out.
Yeah.
Or you've got more than one virus in there.
Or the spy program.
Or spy program.
If safe mode with networking works, then you can make sure you get the downloaded updates for Adware and SpyBot, and hopefully try to clean things off.
What antivirus software were you using?
The Symantec.
Yeah. What you want to do is in Symantec, go in under options, go down to emails, and the default is quarantine. Change that, and this is for everybody that's running Norton. Go in and change it to delete. You don't want to mess around because you're going to run into problems just like you are right now.
Yeah, leaving quarantine viruses is a bad idea. Just delete them.
Yeah, one thing you're going to want to do, Pete, is run the entire Security Tango top to bottom. You may need to have a friend download the software and burn it to CD for you if you can't get onto the network because you're stuck in non-network safe mode. But whatever else you do, definitely make sure that you are running the entire Security Tango, top to bottom. Don't skip any steps. Because what it sounds like is something sliding around what you've done, but by going through the entire Tango, you may get it. That's what you need to do. Looks like we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray and, of course, the great Rob Linton. I want to thank everybody who called in. Some great discussions on this week's show. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Please call in earlier next week. Every week we're here from 11 to 1, so join us. And we'll be talking about news, views, and stuff you can use. Please don't forget to vote in the poll and join us online at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Because in the forums, we have the coolest people on earth who give out lots and lots of great advice and do lots of terrific things. You can also join us on our podcast and our shoutcast and everything else. I'm Nick Francesco. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. See you next week.
Wham!